Well, nobody knows movies quite like Thelma Adams, so we wanted to talk with her about Sunday night's Academy Awards and find out her thoughts on possible winners and losers on film's biggest night. She is a Yahoo Movies contributing editor, film critic, and Oscarologist, I see, which I love that title. I don't know what it means.
I have to wear like a Swami thing on my head when I do that. What are you? A turban.
Yeah, so what was it? Was it the Johnny Carson routine?
The Johnny Carson routine. The great war. Yeah.
Karnak. There we go. She was the film critic at Us Weekly for 11 years, from 2000 to 2011. Following 6 years of the New York Post, she is twice chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and is also the author of a terrific novel entitled Playdate, which is out in paperback. Thelma Adams, it's always lovely to have you here.
Joe, I love being here.
Thank you so, so much.
And I love coming up because, you know, the center of our state, Albany, New York.
And here we are, and we're talking film. So, you know, this is the way, I don't know.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Here's what I'm thinking. This is the way I've put the 9 films in categories. You have sort of the big 3 films.
The big 3.
To me, like the big, and not that their chances are, but the big, like, studio releases, which are Wolf of Wall Street.
You have a different one.
Okay.
No, I mean, you're taking the big 3. You're saying it's the big studio, so it's Wolf of Wall Street.
American Hustle and Gravity.
Okay.
And then there are like the true life movies. Dallas, okay. Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Phillips to sort of bring us to a moment in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Captain Phillips and then,
would Philomena fit in that one?
I put 12 Years a Slave in that one, and then
okay.
And then the road journey movies, which were Philomena, Nebraska, and Her.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. It's funny also because Alexander Payne put off making Nebraska because he had done so many road journey movies. He was like, can't make this next. Got to do like Descendants or something where it's not just a journey, although there is in Descendants a journey. They go to another part of Hawaii.
Yes. And I love that film, and I love Nebraska as well.
I'm going to put it forward here. Nebraska of this group is my favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
It's not going to win.
Yeah.
But I got to put it out there.
My favorite movie, although Nebraska was out there, my favorite movie of the year was Philomena. I loved Philomena.
I love Philomena too. How interesting and sweet. I think that one of the messages of that movie was just the simple old one. You can't judge a book by its cover. Like, all people are complicated. Life is complicated. We react to the same difficult, we react to adversity differently, and that's what defines us.
I also love the performance that Judi Dench gave in that film, and hats off to Steve Coogan, who was just sort of there to rein it all in. But
right.
But to Judi Dench of that performance, of showing someone who is mid to lower middle class and is still able to show her in such a lovely light and I don't know. It was such a rare performance for me to see, and I didn't know if it was because it's so anti a British type that we see.
Hmm.
Or an Irish type,
right,
that we see.
Right.
And I love
that
the performance.
That we see on this side of the pond.
Right.
Also, I think one of the things about Philomena is that people look at the poster, they don't realize how embracing, how interesting, how it deals with moral issues, how it deals with class issues, and the thorny difference between upper class, lower middle class, men, women, a certain level of success. There's all these kind of conflicts.
Forgiveness,
gay and straight. It may be one of the more sophisticated movies, I think, even more than Dallas Buyers Club, in addressing how we integrate sexuality into our lives.
So before we go, we've mentioned our personal favorite films.
Which we're allowed.
That we are allowed. Now, is there one film on this list that you did not like?
Gosh,
just
only
flat
one.
Out did not
I
like.
I am really funny about this, and we're going to hear hisses and boos. It's not really a flat out dislike. I did not believe gravity. If you go on Rotten Tomatoes and you see the 97% approval rate, I saw that movie in Toronto and it bugged me. And it bugged me like a grain of sand. And I went on my own personal website and wrote this piece about why it didn't work for me. And then I put it up on Rotten Tomatoes and it turned out I was like the one, you know, people flocked to my website because I was the only person who did not love that film.
Did not get gravity.
Well, I think I got it.
Well, there wasn't a lot to get, right?
I know. I think my problem was story. And that's why it doesn't have a screenplay nomination. I also would have to say the movie that I think is going to win, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
Now, my secret life, I was a history major, went to Berkeley.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of this movie where they kept kind of saying, this is really important, and this is the way it was, and people don't know about this. And I think that kind of condescending attitude, I think Americans do know about slavery. And certainly in academics, people have been reading the book this is based on for years.
They knew about Solomon Northrop, knew the story,
knew the complexity of American history. And I totally embrace things that look into our past. I just found this one was too much white devil, good white guy, Brad Pitt. You know, some things were just too clear-cut and too over-dramatized, melodramatized for me.
I had problems with the ending of that movie. I had problems with the ending of Wolf of Wall Street. Both of those films I had problems with the endings.
Wolf of Wall Street ended?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I was kind of thinking that was a great 2-hour movie, but sadly it was 3 hours.
But they didn't really wrap it up. You never knew. There were so many things that were left hanging that you didn't know, and for no reason. There was no reason that they
Well,
they
is there a reason for that movie? I mean, there's been a lot
Well, you can make that case about any movie, couldn't you?
But no.
Okay, all right.
Because I live movies, so I feel like there's a lot of reason, you know, for a lot of movies. Like even you could say, you know, Philomena, Nebraska. Nebraska has this nugget of wisdom at the end that is so worth seeing it. You know, there is a reason.
It's a
beautiful film, and it also lands perfectly. It's kind of like after the Olympics, we know about perfect landings. And it lands perfectly well. Wolf of Wall Street, I wonder if, you know, they rushed it for this year for Oscar contention, and it's doing very well in the Oscar race. But I wonder if there isn't some better movie embedded in that 3 hours.
Well, also, you know, I love watching, and that's one of those films that's difficult because I love watching Scorsese work. I love watching Scorsese work with Leonardo DiCaprio. I think that's fascinating to watch an actor and a director who have had a long relationship and to see the fruits of that labor over an extended period of time. That's fascinating. I thought the Jonah Hill character and the job of that was very exciting. But, you know, that can bring you maybe just 2 hours. I don't know. for bringing you along for 3 hours is tough.
Although I have to say, not that Leo is going to get the Oscar, I have never really liked that collaboration. But this is the best performance I've seen Leo do in 1,000 years. The physicality of this performance, when he's on Quaaludes and his body just goes in all these directions, I don't remember seeing him that loose and that interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting. You don't like that collaboration necessarily.
I really don't. You know what? If Scorsese had decided that he was going to collaborate on every movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, do you think he would have made better films?
Answer that one, Joe. That's a great point. You mean we may not have had Aviator? Or what was that? That was a movie, right?
Yeah, Aviator. That would have been nice. They were recently doing, you know, this big Cate Blanchett rewind and showing all the things she was doing. And then they kept showing her Katharine Hepburn in Aviator. And I was like, this is not good. Sorry, Kate, you are good at everything. And I was like, this isn't good. So what else, Joe? I hated her. I'm talking too loud. I enjoyed her. I just think, and maybe you and I are in the same zone, it's in a way a Young Romantics film because I felt like I just didn't care about his dilemma. You know, whether he was going to have romance or whether he was going to fall. You know, you and I are old married folk.
Right.
You know, I just kind of was like, okay, this is, it's beautiful to watch. There's some interesting moments. But it was a little like, the story was a little Twilight Zone.
It also struck me, and I do not, I have meant to do this over the last couple of days, to go and to Google what I, and try to find names for what I'm thinking of. But it strikes me of that there were several films in the 80s and early 90s that tackled this exact same ground of falling in love with an inanimate object.
let's go right. Let's just go to Star Trek: Next Generation. I saw this movie, and then I happened to watch with my husband was watching an old episode, and there was a woman who was having trouble with her relationship on the base.
Yeah,
and she was working with Data, the android. And he so got her, and he was so perfect, and they had good conversations, and she fell romantically in love with the android.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same story?
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember there's a movie poster that I vividly remember of, like, a guy and then the screen, and then there's sort of the, you know, there's like the blip on the screen, and there's that connection. Some 80s movie that
right.
wasn't great, by the way.
Right.
So I don't know. I had problems with that film.
I kind of loved where it went. I thought, you know,
yeah.
What was interesting is that she, okay, no spoilers here. We're not doing spoilers.
No.
I like the way where it went. So continue.
I also love the costume design. It was a film that took place slightly in the future, and apparently we don't have belts. And also to keep our electronic devices up so that the camera is out and pointed at the world, we need a large safety pins. And I found that fascinating.
That's fascinating.
I really like that. And I couldn't stop watching it. And I thought that whole thing was really neat.
Yeah.
And then there's the point where you also say, well, if I'm noticing that, then maybe there's something fundamentally
yeah.
wrong with this story.
Right. That's the, I'm doing a laundry list in my head. Or I always find if I'm watching a movie and I look at the clock in the movie to see what time it is,
yeah.
that's a sign it's not working.
I expected to like, I really did expect to like American Hustle a lot more than I did. It's fine. I thought Jennifer Lawrence's performance was beautiful and just perfect and great and funny. That movie of a period film, late 70s, early 80s, look at an also period film, Dallas Buyers Club, much more muted, not as cartoonish, not as in your face, and obviously the story is much more grim. However, done in a way that was far more replicative of the period, I think.
Right. Well, I would say that Dallas Buyers Club has a terrific, terrific script.
Yeah.
One of the things that it covers a lot of ground. There's a lot of stuff about the FDA and complicated legal issues that are moved through very swiftly. And at the center is this really interesting, fascinating character based on a real guy. And it's one of those rare American movies where it's like, he's not someone you want to emulate. He's not a great guy. They don't try to paint him as a great guy. And yet you understand he did a great thing. He, you know, and that's interesting. I mean, he starts out as a homophobe and he moves to embrace other lifestyles.
Right.
Or at least understand them.
And for a profit.
And for a profit. And it's, you know, you cannot beat McConaughey's performance, Jared Leto's performance. These are great performances, but also in the tradition of kind of a great American movie, they tell a great story. They tell it swiftly, and it's light and dark. It's funny and it's serious. And the tone is perfect.
So do you think Matthew McConaughey will win for Best Actor?
Really hoping that's the chunky hardest race. He's ahead now. There could be a surprise. I think he's, you know, he also has that legacy. He's building towards it. He's done so many good things in the past couple of years, from Magic Mike and, you know, Killer Joe and all these other really strong performances. And he also has that comeback story. He started out as a fluff, you know,
yeah, yeah.
as just, you know, a
it's
cute boy
silly.
And
yeah.
he, you know. And he's gotten his life together. I don't know, some of the speeches he's given along the way, he kind of goes off into the ozone. So I don't know if he's hurt or helped himself, but that performance just on the screen is a great, great performance.
And speaking of that, Jared Leto, we assume of the one locks that seems to be.
You know what? It's funny because it's such a long season that if you talked to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have said McConaughey lock, Jared Leto lock. I think that you could mark your ballot certainly. And you'd be pretty safe. I don't think in supporting actor there's really anybody to knock Leto off. I really don't understand the Captain Phillips. The Barkhad Abdi is kind of like, you know, he's been rising, but Captain Phillips does not exactly make sense to me as an Oscar movie.
No. Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about that as a film, it seemed to me as a film that gave that it was one of those movies like. And I don't know why I thought of this comparison, but you know, Bob Newhart's classic stand-up was always with a telephone. And basically, this film was designed with Tom Hanks in mind, and you gave him those scenes where he was often contained and put into one area and had to just sort of react.
Right.
And you put him in the chair, and you don't let him move.
Right.
And you get to watch him, and he's very good at that. So you all of the things that he's good at, you sort of set him up to let him do.
Yeah, and that's, I think, why I resisted it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people say, oh, at the end, he got all emotional. And I'm like, that's the bread and butter of actors. Getting emotional, pulling a tear, that's in a way the easy thing. You know, so I wasn't really buying that. But I've got to say, like, if you go back to Best Actor and we look, I mean, look at that. Matthew McConaughey, I think he is going to win. I think you're right. But Bruce Dern. Loved that performance.
Yeah.
Leo has been out at the opening of an envelope, basically, stumping for this movie. Will that get him the Oscar? I don't think so, but he's trying. Chiwetel Ejiofor, he was great in 12 Years a Slave, a restrained performance, but still I don't think as good as McConaughey. Christian Bale, American Hustle. I love Christian Bale. He was in a movie that was not so good called, Something the Furnace. This year, where he was, it was like an Oscar performance in a movie that didn't hold up. I think he deserves an Oscar, but for this role, there's so much that was fun about this. That's the comb over. But remember, the comb over thing is in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Right. And then you have the rest of it to suffer through.
And then where does he go?
Yeah. Yeah, I had problems with that movie. An actress, Amy Adams, is... maybe second to Kate Blanchett.
You know what? This is the thing. Kate Blanchett is so there.
Yeah.
She's been there, you know, when Blue Jasmine came out, everyone said, this is Oscar worthy. But she's been holding on to it ever since. What is at the bottom of your cup?
No, it says swirling cinnamon. Anyway, and then the question is, you know, does the Woody Allen controversy, does that hurt all? It doesn't seem to me.
It doesn't have any impact on Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think with the screenplay, Best Original Screenplay, maybe he wouldn't have gotten the nomination if this came out before the nominations. I don't think it's the greatest original screenplay. He's not going to win. That there, it might have some little bit of impact, but Kate Blanchett's role, no, not at all.
So, we have actor and then actress. Sandra Bullock isn't going to win. Judi Dench isn't going to win. Meryl Streep isn't going to win.
No.
Okay.
And this is the year that Meryl Streep just shouldn't win.
Right. No, I didn't like that movie. I didn't like that performance, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was a kind of a B-. I love that kind of movie, so I would see it even again because I love that dysfunctional family movie, get them all together for an event, everybody, you know, all the secrets come out in 4 days. Love that kind of movie. I think John Wells as the director, he was kind of a B-minus director.
Yeah.
And she kind of ran circles around him.
And then supporting actress, where you have some interesting performances as well. I personally would vote for June Squibb because I thought that performance was
so great.
And so cool. And it would make Oscar history. She'd be the oldest woman ever to win. That's cool. But is there a favorite in this category? Is it? It's not Jennifer Lawrence, is it?
No, I would say the favorite right now. And you can put, you know, on your Oscar ballot, marking your Oscar ballot, Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
She's terrific. You know, obviously this is her first role. But remember, Meryl Streep won for The Deer Hunter. Jennifer Lawrence won. It wasn't her first role, but close to it, she was nominated for Winter's Bone. This is one of those cases where sometimes, you know, that first one out, they just make a statement. And I think Lupita made it. I think if Jennifer Lawrence had been nominated last year but not won, she might have a chance for American Hustle.
But back-to-back
is tough. Back-to-back two Oscars before you're 25 seems a little excessive to me. But sometimes the Academy surprises you. Sally Hawkins, I adore. If you have not seen Happy-Go-Lucky, go and rent it. Terrific. But Blue Jasmine... not her greatest thing. Julia Roberts, August Osage County. What do you think?
No. I mean, I like her. I like watching her, but I don't.
Yeah.
But I, you know, nothing award winning.
Yeah, I like her when she goes dark and bad.
Yeah.
She has a big dark and bad streak. And whenever you harness that, you get a better performance.
All right. So in our final moments, and we only have about 2 or 3 minutes. So best picture then would be between 12 Years a Slave and Gravity are the two? Yes.
You are there.
That's the race?
You are there. That's the race. And this is how I think it's going to split. I think 12 Years a Slave is going to get best picture, and Alfonso Cuarón is going to get best director for Gravity. And that, in fact, when you tabulate everything at the end, Gravity will get the most Oscars. Because it'll get all of those cinematography, editing,
Sound design, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. And so I think that's the way it's going to split. I think done deal, if you want to do your sure thing, Alfonso Cuarón for Best Director. There's a little wiggle in that Best Picture, but I'm calling 12 Years at this point.
Yeah. It's.
What do you think?
Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah. What's your fear? What is your deepest, darkest fear?
I'm kind of with you with the Gravity. I mean, it was okay, but I saw some really great films this year, and that was not on my list.
Yeah, I thought another really great film that we haven't talked about because we tend to stay to the top ones. If you haven't seen 20 Feet from Stardom, which we're hoping will get Best Doc, the documentaries this year were so good, so joyful, so interesting, so dark. You know, they're such
eclectic and wonderful,
right.
And yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's something too to revisit. But basically the overall thing we can say is this was a good year for movies.
Good. And that good's okay.
Yes.
Not great, but it's good.
It's good enough.
You're going to be out there?
Yeah, I am heading out on Thursday. I'm doing Indie Spirits is on Saturday, and I'll go to those. Patton Oswalt is hosting it. That's a fun day. And then we're doing a pre and post live show on Yahoo Movies. So you can turn that on your computer and take a look and see what we're saying and what we're thinking, and then we'll deconstruct it afterwards.
We have the link on our website, WAMC.org. Thelma Adams,
you're
the best. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you after the awards. It's great having you here.
A pleasure.
Have fun. Safe travels. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.